Currently, brigatinib is not approved in the first line space, but we anticipate that it likely will be at some point. For patients who then progress on alectinib or one of the other ALK inhibitors, I think it's important to first determine whether the progression is a local progression, so oligo progression where you can use a local therapy, or is it more systemic where you need to change systemic therapies. In that setting, you know, at my institution at Mass General, our standard has been to pursue a repeat biopsy, either liquid or a tissue biopsy, to help inform subsequent treatment thereafter, because you know each of the second generation inhibitors are actually have slightly different selectivity profiles, and you might be able to move from one to another. There is now I think we're not supposed to call it the ALK master protocol anymore, even though that's what many of us do. There is an NCI ALK protocol. This was pioneered with Alice Shaw. Now Jessica Lin is one of the study chairs for that. And that's really looking at the role of repeat both tissue as well as ctDNA in trying to pair and match subsequent targeted therapies based upon resistance mutations. So I would say that pursuing a clinical trial in that context would be a very reasonable and encouraged next step. Outside of that, in terms of standard of care, we now have data with lorlatinib, a so-called third-generation ALK inhibitor that has shown very good response rates post-second-generation inhibitors. But it does look like the response rate is higher if you have an ALK resistance mutation. That is, if you have an on-target mechanism of resistance. And so for patients who do have an ALK resistance mutation, certainly lorlatinib. If you don't, it's a conversation of lorlatinib versus trial versus platinum chemotherapy.
So Jeff, I'm curious about your take on brigatinib. I just did an interview with Ross Camage, and he was pretty positive about brigatinib. We talked a little bit about the pulmonary reaction that's been seen with that drug. You maybe want to comment on that as well, Jeff. But any thoughts about brigatinib in the first line setting?
First off, it is my standard of care when I see those crizotinib patients that are still out there. It does seem to have the best single arm data in the resistant setting after crizotinib, maybe because of a broader spectrum against resistance mechanisms. The alectinib data wasn't as impressive in the resistant setting, but I agree that the alectinib data first line is very impressive, and so brigatinib ends up coming to the dance a little bit late. It is a very tolerable drug for most patients, in fact, the vast majority of patients. I've not seen the pulmonary toxicity, and so I've thought about it in my patients who on alectinib start to complain about the aches. Like, I often get sort of weird sort of myalgia symptoms on alectinib, but I haven't really been switching over it to as a backup first line therapy because it's not FDA approved yet, but I do see it as sort of one of the tools. It may be hard to move alectinib out given we have a lot of inertia using this drug, but it does seem to be a tolerable, effective, CNS penetrant drug that's going to be in the conversation.